This is Dream Power Radio, the place where your dreams turn into reality. Here is your host, Debbie Spector Weissman.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Dream Power Radio. This is a place where we talk about dreams, both daytime and nighttime dreams, and how you can use them to make the internal shift to a life you love and rediscover the truth of who you really are. When I give talks about the importance of dreams, I often cite what I believe to be the well-known fact that Paul McCartney came up with the music for the song Yesterday in a dream. It's just one example of the creative work that originates in our dreams, but as you're going to find out now, it's far from the only one. Dreams are such a foundation in the world of music that my guest, author Craig Sim Webb, has written a book about it. The Dreams Behind the Music reveals little-known dreams that inspired tremendous success for over 100 famous artists, and highlights principles and techniques anyone can use to harvest their own dreams for significant breakthroughs. Craig is also a dream analyst and researcher who has done pioneering work on lucid dreams at Stanford. Welcome to Dream Power Radio, Craig.
Oh, thanks a lot for the invite. Really good to meet you and to share with some of the amazing, I guess, audience who's joining us too.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Craig. But Craig, I want to start with this. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I guess a number of factors. The Dreams Behind the Music sort of says two parts of me that weren't fully merged and probably still aren't. But dreaming, my passion, I think the same one that you and many of the listeners have, exploring, applying dreams in our lives. And then a whole artistic side, music kind of being the muse. So I'm a multidisciplinary artist. But one of the big things that keeps recurring in my dreams, kind of like a knock on the door, you know, calling dreams, I call them. If you wish, you can click on the link of this dream. And after maybe a year or two of effort, you can have this beautiful future. Those come often with music and new instruments and song ideas, and sort of like Paul McCartney in terms of career steps, not always music. So I guess clicking on those things led to the merge, slow merge inside me that came out as an expression of the book here. And personally, I sort of love stories that sort of have neat, famous people in them and interesting principles. I tried to kind of isolate the principles or universal ideas, universal techniques that everybody can use. So it's kind of about language of music, maybe celebrity, but really a mother, a doctor, a business person, anybody could use most of the principles. And I guess that's why it's a fit for Dream Power Radio, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to get into your connection with music in a little while, but I do want to get back to the book itself, because I talked in the intro about Paul McCartney and Yesterday, but if I'm correct, it's not the only Beatles song that was instigated by a dream, was it?
Yeah. Well, Paul's one of my favorite dreamers. I borrow the phrase to say a rock and roll shaman. Sting called himself sort of a, let's say, shamanic states of dreaming. Sting's another big musical dreamer. And Sir McCartney dreamt, I think I mentioned Yesterday, which he shared not that long ago, very publicly. But for many years, not too many people knew about that. So thank you for bringing it out there. Show people examples that can really be practical in life. And then, of course, Let It Be. That's another one he shared, I think, only about a year ago on Carpool Karaoke. I mean, a little bit here and there before that, but in a mainstream way for the West. There was a big one about a year ago. He shared some of the story of Let It Be, where his mother, you know, the lyric, Mother Mary came to me. Of course, his mother's name is Mary, his physical mom, who passed when he was younger. And she came in a dream, and I think at a rough time when the Beatles were having a sort of the rocky part towards the end of their togetherness. And she said, you know, son, just let it be. And he said, I guess it touched me so deeply. Maybe it'll touch listeners, made a lyric, made the song. You can sort of see the thread that comes some kind of inside info. I sort of call it, you know, the shamanic rock and roller, but really that's what shamans or let's say medicine people or anybody really tuned inward gets the inside data. I say collecting the files and the data and the web pages off the inner net. It's kind of like internet, but it's in our dreams. And then bringing it out to people.
Internet.
The internet. Yeah, why not? I mean, we have this big physical version of what's already inside of us. So I borrowed the phrase. I hope that's okay, people. I'm allowed to joke a little about it because my family name is Webb, right?
Exactly. So it's very interesting that you say that. We know Paul McCartney came up with the music for Yesterday in His Dream, but the lyrics for Let It Be came from, or the inspiration, the lyric came from his dream.
I'm not sure we can separate them entirely because he's a pretty sharp dreamer. This is a little hidden technique in there for any of you creatives, which I think is everybody. But he would often, or when he would get these kind of musical inspirations, and there's a few more if you want, I can share. But he'll right away, you know, sort of, and I think at Jane Asher's apartment when he got Yesterday, crawled out of bed groggy, you know, maybe a cool morning there in UK. But just went right over to the piano and tried to piece together the song. And so he kind of gets up early right away. And I imagine the dreams and the music for Let It Be were both mixed in. So maybe he's just writing the lyrics at that moment, but then he starts humming the phrase and it kind of comes together, I guess, a batch. And there's a little bit of science, or let's say statistics, behind my guess, because it turns out that actually anybody who wishes, it's pretty much anybody who wishes, and short of a smaller study I did, and then some other research I've seen since then, it looks like people who intend, or, you know, just say, hey, that's interesting, let me be open or try it, to have musical dreams or dream of new songs even, seem to get it very quickly, very easily. Like, surprisingly, 7 out of 7 of my students got it within a week, who never really dreamt music, maybe once 3 years before for one of them, but, you know, never really intended it. But it's almost like pressing a button. Hey, soundtrack on, please. The mute button, but unmute in this case for dreams. And then all of a sudden music can come. So I imagine that the music and the lyrics weren't too far apart. It's kind of from the inner source. We don't know. I don't want to put words in Sir McCartney's mouth. But there is a very, very interesting story that sort of points to other aspects of such dreams by the Beatles. And this one's not known about yet, but thanks to Dream Power Radio and maybe some other helpers here. Maybe a little bit my book, that Lennon and McCartney had just started working together, obviously an incredible partnership. But at the time, they didn't really know. They're just sort of two gents in, I guess, Liverpool, just kind of having fun, playing guitar, having a wish to be like that guy on TV called Elvis. And then a recurring dream that Sir McCartney had, he wasn't Sir at the time, but was digging up an old tin can in his backyard. So he actually shared this, and I reference all, I think, 750 references in my book point to the actual place where he shared it, or it was shown, or some of them actual events that happened, like plane crashes, etc. So I like to keep a little bit of credentials in there. And he actually shared this. He woke up that morning with the dream. He dug up the same tin can, or the same little can, I guess, as usual from his backyard, except that it had gold coins. And he said, wow, that's interesting. He just happened to be chatting, I guess, with his new songwriting mate, John, and said, oh, I had my recurring dream, whatever accent, Liverpool. And John said, well, that's really strange, because just this morning, I actually had a dream also of digging up a tin can of gold coins, or something pretty close to it, enough that it was extremely unusual. They both pretty much had the same dream.
That was tandem dreaming.
He kind of like just says a little phrase at the end. I guess you could say it sort of played out true, because, you know, he has, I think, now $500 million or more. Yes. Royalties in all his life. So he did pretty well with the gold coins for that partnership.
It also brings up the whole idea of tandem dreaming, which
right.
Not very many people do, but you get that connection.
Yeah, mutual dreaming. I wouldn't be so surprised. In this case, it was sort of, let's say, new creative partners, bandmates, and they turned out to be lifelong friends and colleagues and such, with a little bit of waves in the mix, of course. But I would say any partners out there, you know, obviously wife, husband, but even, let's say, other variations on a theme, children and parents, if they started to check a little more, I bet you they would notice a lot of what I call mutual seeming, sort of like mutual dreaming. But it's not always in the language of life where I'm at this point of view, I see the TV, or I see the tree exactly like this, you're over there, you see the other side of the TV. So it's not, that's more the physical language of our perception. In dreams, it might be, oh, I had this character appear, or the color of the room was this, or we were outside running, going on a river, but big, more general things like a scene or a motif. And if people check, I bet you'd be very surprised that it happens all the time, because I check with clients and students, and I myself notice it personally quite often. Yeah, it's there if we look for it. Sometimes it's very striking, though, exact same dream, right? Have you ever had that?
I haven't, but again, I don't usually ask other people if they've dreamt the same thing that I have. And it's an interesting question to take up that I may do in the future.
All right. New little home research. We call it detective science. With dreams, we get to be first person explorer and get our data, each person.
Absolutely. Well, in your book, it's not only about Beatles who had songs come out of their dreams, but you also say Beyonce has a song that came from one of her dreams. So you can tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, Beyonce is a visual artist. Although people say, what? I thought she was a musician. Her album that which she says every song was at least inspired by, or maybe direct from Dream Download, the visual album. She says, yes, because I actually see music. I see the images. I see the sort of dreams of it. Some she actually gets right on waking up. So she'll get that as her music, which sort of bridges into a whole interesting chapter in the book that I just labeled because I started seeing sort of the metadata when I was gathering many stories, like 200 different artists. There was certain groupings that were kind of interesting that don't really show if we just know a story or an anecdote here or there. But I noticed a lot of artists, especially the dream ones who kind of tune inward and bring it out quite consciously, like let's say the applied dreamers, I would might call them, they have synesthesia. In other words, their senses, different senses bridge a little bit into each other. Pharrell will go, you know, the artist Pharrell. What is this? I'm going to be happy. Clap along. I can't say too many lyrics here for copyright. But I don't think he'd mind that Pharrell actually sees music when he meditates in the studio. Or kind of sits quiet, maybe with eyes closed, and sees like colors dancing around a bit like I believe Beyonce does. So there's this kind of crossover where that visuals and the feelings that comes with them translates into a musical song or working arrangement or whatever they're working on in that moment. And then there's some other interesting variations. I have a bit of a strange one. I actually sort of hear touch, which is a pretty small percentage. Do you have any synesthesias? There's some where you can sort of like remember numbers really perfectly, and there's a few strange ones, but bridging of senses, like hearing colors or seeing sound or anything like that?
Sometimes. I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but yeah. Yes, I do.
It could be a sign of some creative genius. So a friendly little seed or suggestion for you and any listener, if it starts coming a little bit, maybe at least be open, maybe nurture, because it sounds like it can bring some interesting success.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you in your research, because you either have dreams spontaneously where you just dream, you go to bed, you have the dream and it's there, or you can make a dream declaration or do a dream incubation and meditate on what you want to dream about before you have the dream. Which is it with these artists? Is it a little bit of both? Or
yeah, there's a few. I have a whole chapter on what I think everybody here probably is aware of, lucid dreamers. And even lucid isn't quite an on or off thing. And obviously some people use the word differently, but I'll say generally people who intend dreams. And my definition of lucidity, which has expanded quite a bit since I was involved with the research at Stanford that kind of brought it to the West. Even if we intend a topic to dream about, or maybe not so consciously, you know, we watch a scary movie going to bed, or we're just thinking about something or worrying or whatever, but our mental focus is on a certain topic. Our emotions are probably following that, and we fall asleep. We go to a deeper state, maybe even meditation. But if we fall asleep with anything like that, yeah, we're going to probably dream on it. I think anybody here will say that, yeah, I slept on a problem before. Same idea. So it can be intentional or unintentional, but it starts to guide dreams. So that's kind of my little movement of the RPM needle of lucidity, maybe not fully into the green yet, but starting to intend dreams before they happen. And then maybe more official lucidity is during the dream that can start to happen. And there's quite a few. One interesting one is a colleague I worked with, Robert Rich. It turns out a number of the electronic music musicians who do sort of soundscapes and different sounds, not as quite as much as like songs, I guess, or quite like, you know, rock and roll radio songs anyway, but more soundscapes, and Brian Eno is another. They actually sort of seem to intentionally dream quite a bit. So Robert Rich did too. He said he had a really powerful dream where he kind of merged into a painting in the dream, kind of became aware and then dove into a painting, ended up flying over the hills of Santa Cruz, which is close to where he lived in California, and then hearing the most rapturous, incredible I guess, at first actually seeing this sort of sound formation in the air, and then I think hearing and feeling and waking up with it. And that became one of the songs on the album, I think Numinous, or one of the albums he was working on at the time. So there's certainly people who quite intentionally go into the dream music studio, I'm one of them, and will sort of work on songs or ask for inspiration or somehow just let it come. But I can still say, even as a fairly proficient lucid dreamer, many times the melody just comes if I want it. I know that I can kind of turn on or off the mute button for the music pretty much any day. I can sort of have that. It's just a question of which ones am I going to work on and log. And it does take some physical time, so I kind of let them come a little more naturally. But sometimes if I'm working on a song, an album, or maybe something even like producing somebody else's work, sometimes just editing audio interviews, I might intentionally ask for guidance or in the dream say, hey, is there a better way to mix this or arrange it? Or is a certain instrument? I sort of got the melody, but example here, we'll kind of go back to some of the famous folks. Rolling Stones got Can't Get No Satisfaction. At least Keith Richards, the guitarist, got this dream where he said, he kind of pulled out a tape recorder in the middle of the night and just strummed, I guess, this little riff on his guitar. And he didn't even remember in the morning, but he saw that a bunch of tape had run. So he went and listened to it. He said, oh, wow, cool. But he wasn't as into it. And he played it for, I guess, Mick Jagger, his bandmate. They were just beginning at the time. And Mick said, hey, I like it. Because he wasn't sure he wanted to really record. So Mick, I think that day or shortly thereafter, wrote some lyrics that seemed to fit pretty well. And they pieced it together and he said, well, I want to make it more rock. So they added this really grunge sound. In this case, I don't think he necessarily did ask or go in dreams to consciously get that guidance, but it's certainly quite possible. Fish, not sure if you're aware of that artist. He's more of a performance artist. Yeah, you know.
Oh, yes.
The group. And one of the main songwriters there, actually the performers on stage, Mike Gordon, goes in dreams and quite actively gets a feeling, a sound or a music. There's other artists who do that too.
Craig, this is fascinating, but we do have to take a little break here. We are speaking all about music and artists and dreams with author Craig Sim-Webb, and we'll be right back. If you're not pleased with the trajectory of your life, the time to begin your own personal transformation is now, and your dreams can help pave the way. How? By tapping into your unvoiced confidence. What is unvoiced confidence, you say? It's acceptance of your abilities and qualities. It's a state of mind coming from liking and even loving yourself, and feeling free to say or do anything you want without concern for the judgment of others. You were born confident, but may have had it chipped away little by little by the negative self-beliefs you've picked up over the years. If you're looking for the heightened energy, clarity of thought, and the feeling of being more alive that comes from self-confidence, you can rediscover it by paying attention to your dreams. Need some help doing this? Go to my website, thedreamcoach.net, and sign up for my complimentary dream discovery session. I can help show you how your dreams can help you return to the confident person you were always meant to be. Again, go to thedreamcoach.net, thedreamcoach.net.
Welcome back to Dream Power Radio with your host, Debbie Spector Weissman.
Yes, welcome back to Dream Power Radio. I'm your host, Debbie Spector Weissman, and we're talking about music and dreams with author Craig Sim-Webb. Well, Craig, you said you're also a performer and you've come up with music from your dreams. So we're actually going to play a couple of clips from your music, and I'd like you to elaborate a little bit about what it means to you, maybe where it came from. So this first clip I want to talk about is the one that you call Bass Riff.
Yeah, bass riff's an interesting one, like I think maybe about 8 or 9 that I included in my dream-inspired video. We can talk about that. There's a little sort of what I call C. I don't necessarily dream minutes or hours of music, but nobody does. Some people actually get, I think, longer strings, and I know Mozart saw visually his entire composition as like almost like this kind of crystal formation that he later translated as music. But he saw it all at once, complete the whole symphony or whatever. So I don't quite get that. I get these, what I call sort of a DNA maybe, or a seed for what could be a song, maybe the main theme or a little riff or a hook or whatever you want to call it. In this case, the bass riff was probably something like that. I included about 8 of these in the video Treasure in a Bottle. People can check it out on my YouTube channel. It's just sort of seeds that I hadn't really put together, but I was describing the dreaming music process and connecting it with a very interesting photographic technique that came from a dream also, of sort of bending spectrum rainbow lights in a neat way, which is kind of a connection for the rainbow there behind you. Maybe there's a little link. But there's nothing too deep. But I noticed after that same sound is pretty close to the Seinfeld sort of scene transition sound. Not the same melody exactly, but the bass kind of playing twangy like that. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Maybe that's my comedic side, kind of tuning into dreams.
It's very interesting you say that you call them little seeds. I often have what I refer to as dream snippets. I'm not a musician. I can't carry a tune. I don't play any instruments, but I do write. And I will come up with sentences or themes that I want to write about in a dream. But it's usually not the whole full-blown thing.
You write fiction?
No, nonfiction. Oh. You know, kind of essays type things.
I was wondering if you dreamt your characters, because some authors have dreamt characters too.
Oh, there's a laundry list of authors who have had their books come out of dreams. Mark Twain was a big dreamer, just for an example.
Stephen King,
and so many people. But I want to get back to you, and let's get back to your music. That one was an instrumental, just a little. This one's a song that's got music and lyrics called Lucid Never Felt As Good. And I'll play a little bit of that song now.
Wherever I've been in my life, I've never felt as good as when I'm with you. From a dream, this melody just sprang into my life, yeah. In this way, the seeds of soul are born. While my friends and family and lover, they're very dear to me, yeah. But without the muse, I'd be forlorn. She told me, wherever I've been in my life, I've never felt as good as when I'm with you. And I said, wherever I've been in my life, I've never felt as good as when I'm with you.
All right, well, that one is sort of a slash title. Lucid is the main title, but people don't always get it because it's just at the end of the song. So the chorus, I guess, repeating part, the refrain says, never felt as good as when I'm with you. That's an interesting one that sort of shows some principles that I think might be interesting for listeners and like also something that I learned in my life. So hopefully that can be of value. But I just like most of these melodies that come to me as sort of a hook. In this case, I think I used it as a hook anyways. Wherever I've been in my life, I've never felt as good as when I'm with you. Can't quite get the bass note today, but anyway, something close to that when I woke up and wow, interesting. And a little technique tip here, I had my voice recorder and so recorded right away as I woke up. So I got it as clear as I can with the key and maybe the timing, the speed, the tempo too. And then it sort of sat around because I did get a number of little melodies for a while. I thought, okay, that's an interesting one. Maybe I'll work on it. And then I started deciding what could the lyrics be about because I got the lyrics and the music together right in that one. And I thought, okay, never felt as good as when I'm with you. Maybe I'll use my dream side here and I'll say maybe it's the inner self, my deep dream wisdom coming and speaking to the physical self. But I'll sort of make it like that. It could be a romantic relationship too. Sort of not super clear what it is, but some of the lyrics start to say closer that, yeah, we're talking about an inner partnership or a relationship with a deep inner friend. And in that case, the woman, my inner subconscious, the anima, perhaps, said, yeah, I never felt as good as when I'm with you. So the interesting part is here, I did start writing and recording. And what's super interesting, this is a principle I saw in many of the artists, and maybe you've seen this too, but the moment they sort of acted on it, and the moment I acted on and started actually putting a little work, and I sort of make the analogy, I went from a couple dates into going steady with this song and started recording, arranging a little bit. Then a next dream came pretty soon after that commitment. I forget the exact timing, but days at most, week or something. And it gave a whole different sound because I'm more of like a folk guitar. I like acoustic, sometimes even just like a cappella and things up till then. And it was like this rock and roll driving distortion beat. It brought the bridge, which people can hear in that song if they check it out. But it's a pretty hard electric guitar with distortion. I was like, whoa, you know, grunge. I'm not quite the grunge guy. But I thought, well, maybe that's a good character development for me to get my hard rocker self grown a little bit here. But I also took it as a pretty specific guidance, and I added in distortion guitar, and it changed the feel of the song quite a bit. I did really enjoy it. So the principle there that, and maybe everybody can check out, is once we kind of commit to it, act a little bit towards it, it seems like the subconscious says, oh, cool, you know, he's showing up or she's showing up, and the next step is given.
Okay, I have a very practical question to ask you. So you dream the music. How do you remember it? Do you get up, take out your guitar and record it, or do you just sing it into record? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, I have to be honest here. Maybe I'm dating myself. Officially, I did record originally on a tape recorder. So that was, I just kept a little tape recorder by my bed. The days of tape recorders have passed here. So I keep an MP3 recorder. But what I find most efficient now, so that I act on it quickly, because it's not obvious if we just gather all kinds of stuff on a voice recorder or maybe our cell phone. I put it right into the cell phone. But a little tip here, I keep the airplane function on, so the cellular waves off at night, so I don't get blasted with the radiation. And then right away, as soon as I've recorded it, I email it to myself. And that day, I'll have the little melody there, and I'll choose if I'm going to work on it, or at least I'll record it with as much as I can remember of the dream and maybe a few other hits. And most of the artists, many artists seem to agree that when it was fresh, like the morning of, or at least that week, and they worked on it, they got a lot more, and it seemed more connected with that intuitive source spring of the song. Otherwise, you know, some of the artists have their talents, but they didn't get quite as much. One interesting one is Gilbert and Sullivan, who said he remembered sort of having music, but he couldn't really remember any of the melody, but he just sort of had the feeling. You know, I think this might actually be the first ever recorded dream music, and might even be the first ever recorded music, because it was right around the time of being able to record things. And so he called that song The Lost Chord, which I guess was sort of the forgotten dream. But I think he included the feeling and vibe. And other artists who sort of wake up, sleep on the keyboard. One of the soundtrack composers for games, forget his name, but a Japanese fellow, he says he sleeps on his keyboard with maybe a little pillow or something so that he can get it as fresh as he can and get it right in and even start working on it right away. And many others, Lenny Kravitz says he does that. He goes right into the studio at night, et cetera, et cetera. So the fresher, the better.
Oh, wow. That is so fascinating to me. And I've got a million more questions to you, but we're running out of time. So I just have time for this one final one, Craig, which is, how can people find out more about you and your book and your work?
Oh, well, thanks for that, Debbie. If it resonates with you today, or if you want to learn more, you can certainly follow different trainings or, I guess, private coaching that I offer, craigwebb.ca. If you want to learn about teleclasses, you can check out appliedreaming.com with two Ds, Applied Dreaming. And then if you want to check out the book, it's on Amazon. You can just go Dreams Behind the Music, or you can actually read a little more about it at the website, dreamsbehindthemusic.com. You can also reach to me. I encourage you to make sure to subscribe for Debbie's show here, because she brings on lots of great content. So part of what we're offering is a huge gift from Debbie, and I appreciate it. Thanks, Debbie.
Oh, Craig, thank you so much for being on Dream Power Radio.
All right, pleasure, my pleasure. And if they want to check out a chapter in the back of the book or some of my writings that they'll find through my webpage, I'll wish everybody happy nightmares. That means you probably went lucid and made it into something better.
Oh, yes. I always say nightmares are the best thing that can happen to you. So I like that. Right. Okay. We've been speaking about dreams and creativity with author and dream analyst, Craig Sim Webb. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. If so, please hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Until next time, this is Debbie Spector Weissman saying, sweet dreams, everybody.
You've been listening to Dream Power Radio with your host, Debbie Spector Weissman. For more information on Debbie or to sign up for her newsletter, go to dreampowerradio.com. This has been Dream Power Radio.